Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Self-Control, The Battle Within.
So the psalmist writes in Psalms 24 and verse 7, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. David writes this having experienced some difficulties in his life. And the Lord told David, lift your head up. Woo. Lift your spirits up. And if you hold your head up and open the gates of your heart, the King of glory shall come in. Somebody lift those hands and simply say, welcome in. Come on, team, tell us again as we worship. Come on, lift those hands, King. Now, Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For you art our strength and our Redeemer, a very present help in the time of trouble. And the church that loves the Lord, help me say amen. Clap those hands, everybody. There is a word from the Lord. Amen. There is a word from the Lord. At the beginning of this year, we introduced you to the theme, spiritual empowerment. We said to you, as Jesus said to his disciples in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul writes these profound words. He says, and the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Paul goes on to list 9 different fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. We've covered them all this year: faithfulness and gentleness. And now this is the 9th. This is the final fruit of the Spirit. For the next 2 messages, we want to share with you from the series, The Power of Self-Control. The Power of Self-Control. Self-control, the last fruit of the Spirit. I am convinced that Paul saved the 2 most challenging for last: gentleness and self-control. We don't have problems loving and having joy and peace, but when it comes to being gentle, when it comes to self-control, that's a challenge. And so I want to help you throughout these next 2 weeks to understand why we can all keep it together, why we can all stand firm and know that there's a power in us that helps us control the power that is against us. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25. And this morning I want to read these eight verses a little longer than Norma in the reading of his word. But I want you to get the full context of what Paul writes. We've chosen the New Living Translation for a clearer understanding of the text. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Paul writes this in a personal way. He uses the word I. He shares his own testimony. Listen to what Paul, the author of more New Testament books than anyone else in the Bible, listen to what he struggled with. Listen to his testimony. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it, verse 19 says, anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, Paul writes. But there is, and here's where the subject is found, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Can we just keep it real this Sunday? All the fake folk, you can leave now, okay? But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Paul answers his own question. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And the church said, amen. Verse 23 again, the beginning of that verse. There is another power within me that is at war with my mind. The series is entitled The Power of Self-Control. This first of two messages is simply entitled The Battle Within. Look at somebody before you sit down and say, neighbor, we all struggle with a battle within. Now clap those hands and take your seats. That's why I said earlier, all the fake and pseudo deep people who think you never have problems, so much so that you've got time to judge everybody else's problems. Amen. Well, this message may be for you particularly. Several years ago, as a sophomore student at Benedict College, my uncle, the late Mr. Joseph Jackson, who longtime faculty member, staff member at Benedict, introduced me to the late Reverend Dr. Ladder Thomas. Dr. Ladder Thomas was a pastor, was an author, and was an iconic professor at Benedict College. He taught critical thinking. He taught courses dealing with behavior science. Was one of those professors that never had a book, never had to write it down. It flowed from his head. And to my surprise, and actually to my advantage, he took me under his wings per my uncle's recommendation. Because my uncle knew I was curious. I was a young man who always had more questions than I could come up with the answers. And I remember Dr. Latta Thomas saying to me once in one of our classes, I took everything he taught. He said to me, he says, young man, study people. Become a student of human behavior. Then he says, and study success, because it usually doesn't change its model. In other words, he says, success throughout the pages of time, usually the same components. And this is what he said, and this was back then. He says, particular historical success. Look at what made them successful. What were the things in their lives that were beyond the obvious that made someone a success? And in doing that, one of the things that he and I both came to the conclusion of is that self-control is usually a vital component to the success of those who had been identified as high achievers. Dr. Thomas would say there's nothing new under the sun. He says, and usually successful people and high achievers have some commonalities that link them together. And one of those was self-control. And I remember, and I thought about this between services, I remember Dr. Thomas saying, people that do not have self-control are rarely successful. He said, they may have stuff, but that's not success, because they blow it on their lack of self-control and their indulgence in carnality, because they can't control their desires, their instincts, their finances. The other thing that he said that stood out, and he says, when someone does not have self-control in one area of their lives, it is usually the same in other areas. He says, if someone can't control their flesh, they usually can't control their finances. He says, if someone can't control their tongue, they usually cannot control their behavior. Thank you, Dr. Thomas, who's now in glory. Okay. Because it meant so much to me. And he said to me as a young man, eager to learn, he says, find those who you admire and watch how they exercise a sense of self-control. And he said to me, he says, and he knew that I was an aspiring politician. I was a student government president at Benedict. And he said to me, don't fight all your battles. Do not respond to all of your critics. And he says, son, it takes you more strength to say nothing than it does to raise your voice or to raise your hand. May I preach? Taught me so much. And he says, exercise self-control in every aspect of your life, and it will be obvious in all aspects of your life. Then I remember reading this passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. The New Living Translation says it best. It says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And you wonder why the enemy is always on your territory, because you invite him in. You wonder why the devil is always on your case, because your walls have been broken. You wonder why you one day up and the next day down. You wonder why for every good day of joy, you have 5 days of sadness and you can't control your emotions or anything else. It's because your walls are down. Solomon, the wisest man to have ever lived, says, without self-control, it is like you're living in a city with broken down walls. Paul understood this when he writes the fruit of the Spirit, and he identifies through the anointing of the Holy Ghost 9 different fruit, and he starts with love and ends with self-control. Why? Because self-control is vital to our success. It is one of the key evidence of spiritual empowerment. Yes, now you know why you can't live right. Now you know why you have a hard time resisting, responding to every naysayer on social media. Now you know why you always have to sin when you feel like you should not have sent that. Because there's no self-control in your life. And I'm hearing Dr. Thomas says, if it doesn't exist in one aspect of your life, it usually carries over to all aspects of your life. Self-control, what is it? It is and has been described, particularly for the purposes of this message today, as the ability to exercise restraint. Moderation in our daily lives, including our thoughts, words, and actions. You don't have to do everything. You sometimes have to learn how to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. For God said to King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, he says, you have no need to fight this fight. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. See, I believe that faith works with self-control, because if you've got faith in God, then you've got enough control not to fight every battle. Sometimes you've got to let folks say what they want to say, do what they want to do, and you know you haven't done anything wrong, but it takes every ounce of your strength just to stand still and smile at folk that hate you and love folk that will never love you back. Can I preach to somebody? It takes no strength to retaliate. Listen, I told folk a long time ago, I don't have but so much mine. I don't want to give anybody a piece of what I only have. Some of you ain't got but so much mind, and you're gonna give somebody a piece of that. Can I let you in on something? No naysayer, no hater, no critic deserve a piece of anything you got. Who am I preaching to? Look at your neighbor, say, keep it together. Hold your peace. Be strong in the Lord and watch the Lord. Sometimes you've got to do as God told Moses at the Red Sea. Children of Israel were freaking out because they had no self-control. They were not even halfway out of Egypt, and they were already regretting their journey. Why did you bring us out here to die? Pharaoh's army is behind us. The Red Sea is in front of us. What are we going to do now? And God had to speak a word through Moses and say, Moses, tell them, these Egyptians you see today, you will not see again anymore. Moses, what's in your hand? Stretch forth your hand and stand still and see the salvation of God. Can I preach to about 50 of you who've ever had to just watch God? Fight your battle. Look at somebody and say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Woo. Control your tongue. Control your thoughts. Control your actions. You forget about folk who cheer on fighters. You forget about folk who are always pushing you up to go pick a fight with somebody else. It takes more strength. It takes more control to know that you're right and that you have the ability to take them out. But you let God, and when God does the fighting, I heard. I feel like preaching, but I want to hold this. I heard. The Bible declare, when my enemy and my foe came upon me to eat up my flesh. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, watch them fall. Say, watch them fall. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Woo. Spirit of the Lord, lifts up a standard. Can I get a handful of Holy Ghost filled folk? Jump one time, say, won't he do it? Woo! As whoo, people of faith, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Don't y'all push me. I'm gonna get through this. As people of faith, self-control is really important as we deal with what has been perhaps deemed or noted as perhaps one of our most difficult challenges. I'm here to let you know today that your most difficult enemy is not that naysayer on your job. Your most difficult challenge is not someone who's trying to steal your joy or your profession, somebody who's always trying to knock you down. I have come to discover I can handle the flesh and blood enemies by just sometimes ignoring them. But perhaps the greatest battle, the greatest struggle that we will ever encounter is the battle within. Can we just keep it real? Can we keep it real? I'm wondering, in my Holy Ghost mind, how many of you fight with you? Maybe it's just me. Bishop Dwight, maybe it's just me. Try that again. How many in here find yourself fighting with you? Your problem is not your cousin, your coworker, your neighbor, the ex that you can't seem to ex. That's not your problem. But the problem is you. I heard the old church say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. How many of you know God needs to fix you? You need to pray, Lord, fix me. Before you pray, Lord, fix somebody else. Lord, fix me. Fix me, Lord. Anybody know, fix me, Lord. Anyone in here struggling with you, your own inner problems, your own inner battles, your own fight within you, sometimes is the most lethal thing you would ever go through. An internal battle, not fought with earthly weapons, not waged on public territory, but an internal battle fighting within yourself. When you don't look like what you've been through, and sometimes you don't look like what you are going. Can I preach to some real folk? Look at your neighbor and say, don't judge me by how I look today. These clothes are just a facade. This, you can Gucci yourself to death. You can Louis Vuitton yourself all you want. But after Louis and after Gucci, you still got to deal with yourself. Your messed up self. Your jacked up self. So one more time, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is not about you, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Trouble in my way. I had to cry sometimes. I laid awake at night, but that's all right. Can I testify? I walk the floor at night. Can I testify? I struggle at night. Woo! But that's all right. Hold on to the end of the sermon. Carnal desires, fleshly tendencies, self-centered temptations possess our lives. You can't praise anybody else because you're too busy praising yourself. And in the social media age, everybody becomes your own cheerleader. It used to be other folk used to have to congratulate you. I've never seen so many people congratulate themselves. Brother AJ, my brother LJ, that's probably why I got off social media. LJ and others started me years ago on social media, and I was gung-ho back in the day when it was only Facebook. And I would read stuff until I started reading all these self-grandizing, self-promoting testimonies. Let me share with y'all what I did today, what I'm good at. Here's my blessing. I said, Lord, have mercy. Nobody has a cheerleader. Everybody cheer themselves on. But if God be for you, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't have to promote what God has already promoted. If God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, preach, Pastor Jackson. Oh, my time is up. I've got to get ready for my uncle's funeral. Listen, in this text, Paul shares his personal testimony concerning this intense battle within himself that he personally struggled with. What I love about Paul is that he was so transparent. Paul, although he was deep by way of his credentials, he didn't have to play deep. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He let folk know, I've got issues that I struggle with. You all may think I have it together. Go back and read his testimony when he gives his resume. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. That was like an Ivy League education. Paul said, I had all of these credentials, but I thought it was all worth nothing so I can gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. In this incredible text, Romans 7, Paul becomes transparent. He writes in verse 18, I want to do what is right, but I can't. Verse 19, again, he says, I want to do what is right, but I can't. What Paul was bold enough to admit was that although he wanted to do right, he found himself doing what is wrong. Paul confessed to what most of us can relate to. There is a daily battle between our, listen to this. There is a daily struggle, battle between our intentions and our actions. Can I just keep it real? Your intentions fight against your actions. The problem. problem often is a lack of self-control. The problem is our inability to fight against yielding to our carnal and selfish desires. Paul goes on in the text to describe this as a battle, verse 23, within himself, an inner conflict between his spirit and his flesh. So much so that Paul says, I am tormented because when I seek to do right, yet I do wrong. And Paul was Holy Ghost filled, an apostle called by God. Yet he struggled with, I want to help somebody this morning, because some of us have been burdened down by the pseudo holier than thou folk who want to make you feel bad because you struggle with stuff. Truth of the matter is we all struggle with stuff. Oh, I like how Paul begins to wrap up this passage in verses 24 and 25. In verse 24, he asks a question, and in verse 25, he answers the question. He says, I'm a miserable person. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to get out of this situation? Lord, I find myself struggling every day. I wake up to do right, but yet I am doing what I don't want to do. How do I deal with this? But Paul gives the answer in verse 25. He starts off with the words, thank God, exclamation. Every now and then, even in your struggle, you've got to learn how to thank God. Who am I preaching to? You've got to, in your darkest hour, learn how to thank God. You have to wake up with being broke, disgusted, don't know, on the edge, but I've learned how to thank God. I will bless him at all times. In fact, this is a good time right now for you to think of something that only God could have done. And look at somebody and say, I have to thank him. You don't know my story. You don't know the context of my situation. You don't know what I had to go through just to show up here this morning in church. If God had not brought me out of it. Come on, y'all. Take another 30 seconds. Everybody ought to think of something that God did. Bless him at all times. Shout, thank you, Lord. Woo! I gotta go, but I feel like preaching. I gotta go, but I feel like reminding you of the last time you thought you would not make it, but God brought you out of it, brought you from a mighty long ways. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, excuse me for the next 30 seconds. I am going to praise God like I may not ever get a chance to praise him again. You've got 30 seconds to praise God for waking you up, protecting you on the dangers, making ways out of no ways. It could have been you that committed suicide. It could have been you that lost your mind. It could have been you that was institutionalized. Somebody ought to help me give God your best. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Sometimes you've got to lose yourself from everything that's around you and just say, Lord, I thank you. It could have been another way. It should have been another way. But Lord, I come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. I know we got to get up out of here, but come on. When I think of his goodness and all, who shall deliver me from this situation? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Has God ever brought you out of anything? Y'all excuse me. I just remember something that God did for me that only God could have done. Now this is about to become personal. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, think of your own situation. And you owe God one good praise. Church says, clothed in my right mind. Somebody ought to give God a praise, if for nothing else, Ben. That internal battle could have taken you out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody ought to just get out of your seat and walk around and tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I made it. Thank you. Thank you. Come on and tell him, tell him, tell him, all the grateful folk are. Do me a favor, lift your hands and for seven times, I want to hear you say thank you. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One more. If you didn't feel anything after that, that's between you and God. Lord, I survived. I survived. Tell somebody I survived. Woo. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Yeah. Woo. Woo. three key insights. Stand to your feet. Ooh. Deacon Wesley Rogers, I can't get beyond, I survived. Some of you perhaps have never survived anything, but I just thought about something I survived internally. Ooh. I survived. I should have lost my joy. Should have lost my peace. Should have lost my mind. But I got to go. Come on, praise team. Three key insights. Quickly. Woo. Number one, deliverance begins with acknowledging that we cannot win this battle alone. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, if you are to survive, it will be because God is on your side. Woo. Jump down to insight number two. Forget the sub points. Insight number two. Self-control is not about human restraint, but spiritual empowerment. It is the empowerment that allows us to have restraint. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to exercise restraint. You heard me say earlier that we've got to be able to hold our peace. We cannot do it by ourselves. It is the power that worketh in us. And here's the third and the final one as we prepare for this altar right now. Come on, praise team. As we prepare, real simple. Real simple. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, make no mistake about it. Victory doesn't come from the White House. Say, neighbor, make no mistake about it. Victory doesn't come from the State House. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Woo! Make no mistake about it. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory. Come on, that's right. Give us some praise. You owe God one good. Woo! Like carrying that on, but we've got to go. But look at somebody one more time and say, neighbor, I am a living witness that victory belongs to Jesus. What's his name? What's his people that know you have the victory to meet me at this altar. Leave your seat, look me in the face, and say, Pastor Jackson, I have the victory. been sad all week. I lost my uncle, who's the closest thing I have to a father. My heart has been broken all week. I've cried every day, but I heard the Lord said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, and the King of glory shall come in. God, just remind me that I've got. Those hands. Woo. God just reminded me. God says you've got to practice what you preach. Woo. God says you've been preaching all year long that I am the source of your strength, the strength of your joy. He says you've got to practice what you preach. Todd Delaney wrote this song. Hold on. Woo. Victory belongs to Jesus. Who will stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who will stand against the King? No one can. No one will. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. And here's the verse that I like. So we put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. You will deliver. You are a provider. I find my victory. I find it. And you, come on team, come on. Come on Anthony and the team.
Who will stand against the Lord?
No one.
No one can.
No one will.
No one will.
Ah, thank you.
And who will stand against the King?
No one.
No one can.
Ah,
no one will. Oh, oh,
ah, yeah.
Victory
yeah.
belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus.
Yeah.
Victory belongs to Him. Say, who will stand?
No one can.
No one will. Oh, say, who can stand? Nobody can.
Victory belongs to Jesus.
Victory.
With uplifted hands. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it's about verse 57, says this, but thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. And here it is. How did he give it to us? Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody just lift your hands and said it belongs to him. He gave you the victory. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for the battle of self-control. God, we thank you. And we admit there's a battle within us, God. But you've given us the victory. And you did it through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. Over 2,000 years ago, he shed blood just so we can have the victory. And we say thank you. Now, God, we ask that you bless those that are at this altar. We ask that you deliver right now. We ask that you heal the sick. We claim it in the name of Jesus. If there's someone out there that's an unbeliever, we claim salvation right now. God, we thank you for those that are viewing. Perhaps they're a little despondent, and we say victory belongs to you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody put those hands together one more time and say victory belongs to Jesus. Yeah. Perhaps there's someone that would like to stay at the altar. Amen. If you want to join this ministry, if you want to be baptized, if you need special prayer, we encourage you to stay here at the altar. If you're viewing us through our live internet, you can click on the icon and we will respond. What a powerful word from God. The power of self-control. All week long, we just need to say to ourselves, it belongs to Jesus. Our deacons and our clergy are going to come. We're going.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled The Power of Self-Control, The Battle Within, please call us at 803-776-1238, reference sermon number 120725. Again, the number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 120725. Sunday, December 21st at 10 a.m., join the Bible Way Church family for one combined Christmas service. We look forward to hearing from Pastor Daryl Jackson and sharing an amazing production from our praise and worship ministry. Bring your entire family and join us for this service. After that 10 a.m. combined worship service, all are invited to fellowship with us at the A.C. Jackson Wellness Center for a holiday brunch served by Kiki's Chicken and Waffles. Let's come together in gratitude, joy, and community as we celebrate this special time of the year. The A.C. Jackson Wellness Center is located at 2508 Atlas Road, Columbia. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.